This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. Haslinda alias, or Lin alias, started out as a lecturer, went into TV, got into business, 25 in fact, and now her latest venture, a social impact business, Gogo Pasa. Good morning, Lin.
Good morning.
Okay,
good morning,
Lin, Frida. You have to tell me about your many business ventures before we go into Gogo Pasa. I know that you founded 25, so we can't go through 25, but maybe we can go through a few of the key ones.
Okay. Actually, my very first one, I started an advertising agency, actually, by default, because it was just an opportunity actually to pitch for this tourism contract with the government.
Right.
And I was actually with, at that time, I was actually with MTV7. So I bumped into one of the old friends. He was in charge of this secretariat. So he said, hey, he said, and when I was actually at the event, and then of this launch of the Visit Malaysia, whatever, at that time, I think it was 1999. So he said, oh, yeah, if you have any ideas, you can come and pitch. Mm-hmm. So I said, so how do I do that? I said, why don't you just register a company and then you can come and pitch?
Right.
So at that time, I had another partner, a Singaporean partner. We were actually working together in one of the projects. So I told her about it, and she was actually from another advertising agency previously.
Right.
So she said, hey, why don't we just form a team and then went in. So I was very naive. That was actually my very, very first project at the age of 28. And then we were trying to pitch for something when I know most of the other advertising companies have been doing it for
right.
so long.
Right.
But luck was on our side. We actually got the project, you know. We were like up against all this, you know, the 6-star
yeah.
advertising agency. We were like, what? We got it? Like, right. yay. So that was one of it. So we had a few projects along with that first company. And after that, I had my first retail, sort of like retail. Those were also accidental because
right.
I didn't actually plan to do any retail.
Right.
I
know
selling,
one. Sorry, go on first.
Sure, sure. Selling, you know, arts and crafts. Actually, I started with that
okay.
After my advertising because at that time, my partner and I was actually both got pregnant at the same time. So we were all like bouncing pregnant. We were like, too yeah. tired. Let's just sell off our advertising company.
Right, right.
So we, yeah.
Okay. I know you're also involved in sustainable packaging.
Yes, yes, yes. That was 2 years ago. I actually set one of the companies called Free to Seed. So I was there for almost like 4 years from the beginning until we had, I think, a valuation of 120 million. So I actually wanted to exit a lot earlier because our intention was actually to go listing, and but it was not really we were not really I mean the whole board of directors was not really going full force to listing, so I decided to exit earlier. So that was in 2019 August.
Right.
So that was like a month before I started my Gogo Pasa.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So tell me, how did Gogo Pasa come about?
Okay. Gogo Pasa started from, you know, a lot of my businesses started from a problem, you know.
Okay.
I was not actually satisfied with a lot of the fresh produce I bought from the normal supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know why what's wrong with it.
Mm.
So my late mother said that, those ones were old, you know?
Mm.
I said, oh, really? I had no idea.
Mm.
So, and I realized like, hey, this is a problem that we've been buying like not so fresh seafood, all these fresh goods. So I just started with an ideation first, just a concept paper, but not really like went all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I exited my business from biodegradable packaging, mm-hmm. From Free the Seed, I was actually bumped into an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a cold storage and a cold room. So he was saying, hey, you want to do some business in seafood or things like that? I'm getting all these excess of sauces. I'm like, oh, great. Actually, right. I did think about it before that I wanted to do that.
Right.
So, so I said, oh, okay, maybe I'll start working on it. So I went to the core room and then check it out and then start to gather some data and statistics,
right.
And prices as well and see how am I going to position the business. That was actually like just for suka-suka only lah.
Right.
That was like in September 2019. That was like way before COVID came along. But I knew back then, one of the things that I always thought that the most sustainable business is food. Right. Business, because I saw the same lady selling nasi lemak in TTDI market, right?
Right.
In the last 20 years. I'm like, wow, she's still around. This is very sustainable business.
Right.
You know,
right.
There are a lot of
right.
businesses like pivot, they would pivot to something else very fast. But this nasi lemak business of this lady, like, you know,
yes, I know that lady.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. So she was there for a long time. I was like, wow. The only thing that she didn't have it was like whether the business can scale up, you know?
Right.
So that was another, whether it's scalable or not. So I realized like in the last 20 or 30 years, it's like a lot of the giant food companies like McDonald's or A&W, they could actually sustain for a long period of time.
Mm.
So I was saying like, why don't I just go up on the supply chain value, mm-hmm. going on the supplying, right? Instead of just producing.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, right. Okay. So this is so interesting. So okay. One of the things that I read in the Digital News Asia article is that you are hands-on because your other business, you've still got other businesses around, right? And you're hands-on in 70% of your businesses, right? And at 30%, you sort of, I guess have a system, right? Now, how do you manage that? Because I think that's quite a challenge as well. But I just want to know your thinking in how 30% let it run on its own and 70% you're still hands-on.
Yeah. Okay, to be honest with you, I don't really have the exact formula. It's all about not thinking too much about it.
Okay.
Just get out and do it. Just like that.
Okay.
I said, well, I have 1,000 things to do today. Just get up and do it. That's all, you know?
Right.
So a lot of times people say, oh, I got so much thing to do. And they just, that's sort of like when I truly believe like when you wake up early in the morning, it's all about minimizing problems. So what I did is I just identify problems that I have in my current business and see what other things I could minimize it. So in the morning, it's all about minimizing problems. So just, whatever the hardest phone call that you need to make, just do it that, you know. So I don't really like to procrastinate any task or any kind of thing. So the 1,001 things that you need to do is just, getting the right team members to get on the task, to do it, or maybe show them how to do it, those kind of things. Just like continuously analyzing and seeing what are the things that need to be improved early in the morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things as well, you sold 52% of your stake to FGV Holdings for $2.37 million US. It came out, right? 8 months after you launched, right? So, that's quite a feat in itself that you managed to sell this, but you're willing to give up a majority shareholder. Why?
Okay. Most of the times people said that, in the last previous businesses, we always very possessive of our shares, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever people wanted to invest, we would say, no, we won't give up. We want to be the majority, especially if you are founder, we want to be the majority shareholder for sure.
Mm.
In this case, I was thinking of a long term. So actually, if it's not for FGV, I would have not given up my majority shareholder.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The reason why, FGV is one of the, talking about like public listed company, they have been around for eons of years.
Right.
And I don't think so they're going to fall anytime soon.
Right.
Talking about like continuous support in in terms of infra, monetary. So I don't think so. We would like to go like too many rounds of fundraising,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
okay.
when we actually agreed to this, they said, you don't have to worry. You know, whatever you need or in terms of just your support, you just have to present it and then we will support you. So that was actually very consoling to me.
Right.
And in terms of the brand as well, like FGV, they've been around for a long time and we would like to ride on that branding stability, you know?
All right. And I know like with Gogo Pasa, one of the things is that you actually help the B40 communities. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Lynn Alias from Gogo Pasa. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Haslinda Alias, or Lynn Alias, from Gogo Pasa, a very interesting venture. They sold to FGV Holdings 8 months after launch. And what's interesting about Gogo Pasa is that you have a home agent program, right? And this is the idea that you want to impact the B40 communities. Now, how does that work?
Okay, we actually launched the first batch of the, we call it like a reseller or Gogopreneur program like slightly like a month before pandemic last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was in February. So that was a good batch to come on board. So what we wanted to do is to engage people or housewives or single
right.
mothers or
right.
people who needed a second income, a second revenue income to support themselves. So by just being at the house and via through digital marketing, you know, so that's what we actually trying to teach them or trying to guide them that it's not that hard. Actually, once you do a little bit of digital marketing, we just get them to, we teach them how to do the social media and
right.
Some of the things, how to get customers, yeah, on board. So our vision is actually to engage those people. We know that, like, for example, if a lady needs to set up a nasi lemak stall, right? So
yeah.
they, let's say they don't have a babysitter, they have to drag their children along, you know, they have to prepare the sambal all night long.
Right.
And then, you know, towards the end of the day, they just place their table in one spot and then it's just the same regular customers, and it's not they cannot actually create that exponential growth, you know.
Right.
But if they do a little bit of digital marketing and they know how to use all these closed WhatsApp groups, the closed communities that they join and things like that, and share all these you know, business opportunities that they have and sell via through those channels, I think they will realize that this will create more, you know, growth in terms of their income rather than just thinking like, oh, I buka lah kedai
right.
nasi lemak
right.
or kedai kuih,
right.
something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like less, in terms of less capex intensive lah, less
right.
deposit, less money down, outright, sorry.
So how are Gogopreneurs and Gogo agents different?
Gogo agents, on the other hand, how they work is they go under Gogopreneurs. Gogopreneur is actually has to be based in a certain area. We have
right.
about 72 locations spread all over Klang Valley. And this has been like geofencing. We have to use that some demarcation, you know, from our back end IT to demarcate the area so that each of the area will have equal numbers of people in that, you know, the,
right.
the populations.
Right.
So the Gogo agents actually can be anywhere. They can be anywhere and they have to be recruited. And the people they know, I mean, the Gogopreneurs know these people. For example, these people can be your buyers as well, you know. Mm-hmm. By becoming an agent, they can actually share a bit of commission. Mm-hmm. They get a bit of commission and even discount if they decided not to sell, right? Mm-hmm. So they can turn all their buyers as their agents as well. So just imagine like one Googlepreneur has like 10 Google agents spread all over Klang Valley. Mm-hmm. That's our current locations right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they would be able to actually create, you know, an immediate sales without much. As you know, this is like FMCG goods, right. Groceries. Right. You know that the same person will be ordering the same thing next week again, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the things I think we are looking at to support them. But this is actually a system. We're actually teaching them how to utilize them. We don't want it to be like those pyramid. We don't want it to be like that. We just want it to be the buyers or their clients, customers can become their agents as well and enjoy the saving.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, like whether it's Googlepreneurs or Google agents, how much are they earning? How much can they earn, right? And how many do you have right now? And I guess, are you looking for more?
Yes, we are. Currently, we actually stopped the enrollment of Googlepreneurs in the last 2 months. Mm. Reasons why? Because of the COVID. Normally, we would create a preview. They would come and come to our training or our HQ, and then we would actually brief them what is the role of Googlepreneurs, what are the return that they will be able to make. For Googlepreneurs, I think we've had a few Googlepreneurs who have made more than 5K a month, mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
And then, we have Google agents who make as, because we are sharing the commission, right?
Right.
Google agents will make like, Google agents actually very new. Mm-hmm. So currently maybe 1,000 or 2,000 ringgit a month, something
right.
like that. Yeah.
Okay. So this is very great.
They could make more.
Okay. Yeah. So at least we're helping them, right? Now, it also reported in the DNA article that you'll be moving to a new warehouse, 20,000 square foot warehouse in Selangor by the third quarter. Has this happened?
Yes, actually, we already moved.
Okay, all right. Wow.
We're already there, but it's not fully completed yet. So it's only currently around 70% completed. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we are looking at to finish up the warehouse. It's mm-hmm. still work in progress. Mm-hmm. We need to finish up the warehouse in another 30% more. Mm-hmm. The reason why it was a bit delayed because of the MCO, as we all know, mm-hmm. The constructions are not allowed. Mm-hmm. So we hope that everything will be ready by end of September, pray to God. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, we're going to go all out. Yeah.
Right. You know, doing this, right? I mean, there's so many moving parts, right? And it's, of course, it's challenging, right? What has been the most challenging part for it or parts of getting this up and running?
Okay. Number one, of course, the fun.
Okay.
You know, we were quite... I guess we were quite lucky and we're quite fortunate in the sense that a public listed company would want to invest in a startup, right? Mm. So my husband said, oh, you know, now you set precedent that people would think like, hey, it's going to be quite easy for anyone to go to have any investors or, you know, in the likes of any PLCs, you know?
Right.
But it was very hard work to actually look for fun and then to actually work towards proving to your investors that you could actually do it. Right. And number two is actually finding the right team members, the ones that have the actual experience and knowledge and skill in terms of managing the fresh produce, getting it. Because we know that these talents are not really, not many. A lot of them will be attached to one of those, unicorns.
Right.
We're not unicorns yet.
Right.
Hopefully we will. But it's very hard to get those talents. So we're trying to get some of the talents, the basic ones, maybe they have worked with supermarket or something like that. And then to come on board, there's a lot of like trial and errors in terms of whether this is the right fit. Mm. But to date, thank God, I must say, 80% of the staff is already like where they're supposed to be.
Right.
So to motivate them, to inspire them, to continue to a lot of them are not used to work in a startup. because they used to come from a very structured company, you know. Mm-hmm. So as you know, startup is like doing a few tasks, different tasks.
We'll work out the job description later. You do the work now, right?
Yeah, correct. And then if they say like, oh, but I only supposed to be doing this one thing only, you're like, oh, okay, then you're not the right fit. So we know that already. So, but I must say, the current team that we have right now have the dynamics that what Global Pasa is looking for, because this is like we are like trying to study how others are working out their let's say e-commerce platform or their marketplace. So there's a lot of like analyzing and looking at the rights and wrongs others have done, and then learn from that and pick the best. Yeah.
Okay. So, how large is your team now?
Right now, we are moving. Yeah, we are already growing to close to 30.
Right.
We're 30 members now. Okay. We started only with 3 people.
Okay, we just people. Right. Yeah, that's great. And where do you see the future of Gogo Pasa?
Like I said just now, earlier on, one of the reasons why we opted for SGV, that we are thinking about how we're going to expand the business. SGV has all the ready infra, like distribution centers, warehouse, and all of this. I think it's quite similar to, we are trying to emulate my template. It would be Miss Fresh in China, you know.
Right,
they have over 1,000 DCs all over China.
Right.
And they are like worth like $10 billion.
Right.
So I'm trying to see it like whether we could actually replicate and follow that success story and see whether we could actually do it the same in Malaysia or even in Asia. Mm-hmm. So that's what we are looking at right now.
Okay, this is exciting. So all I can say is watch this space. I've been speaking to Lynn Alias from Gogo Pasa. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.